This ASAP podcast is brought to you by Pit Shark Strength Training Equipment. We've visited all of the top strength complexes in the U.S. Pit Shark is everywhere. Check them out at loadthebar.com. This is Ed Sicali with Athletic Strength and Power Podcasts. Today, I'm in Durham, North Carolina, and this is Blue Devil country, folks. Let me tell you, I'm at Duke University with Noel Durfee. He's the head strength and conditioning coach. Welcome to our podcast. It's cool to have you on. You know, I know we got to visit you here last summer, and I know Ted Lambrinidis has been here several times to check in on you guys, but we wanted to get back and get a podcast with you. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
First of all, Coach, what a place, Duke University. I mean, the Blue Devils, the tradition, the whole deal. Where'd you start, and how'd you get here?
Well, I started, it's funny, grew up in a small little town down in Michigan, and you know, went on and played baseball at a small school in Harriet, Tennessee, called Lincoln Memorial. We did not have a strength coach. Like I say, it was a tiny school. When I first got there, we were in NAIA. In my second year, we went to Division II. And, man, we just go in and start lifting weights on our own. You know, just kind of fell in love with lifting weights. Ended up, after my sophomore year, just quit playing baseball because I wanted to lift. I wanted to do more of that. So we found ways. It's funny because they actually had found a way. They found out we were coming in after hours, you know, breaking in the weight room, you know. And so they would start locking it up on us. And then we found on the weekends we could unlock the window on a Friday, and then we could sneak in, you know, during the week or over the weekend. So anyway, one thing led to another, fell in love with doing that. And then after school, I moved to Knoxville, Tennessee. Was working at a health club for a while and got an opportunity to start volunteering at UT. So I went over and met with Coach Moffitt, who was an associate strength coach there at the time, and John Stuckey was a head strength coach. Started volunteering and did that. Ended up working my way to a student assistant and then worked my way into a GA spot after that. Got married while I was in Knoxville. My wife and I moved to Provo, Utah. My first full-time job was at BYU with Chuck Stiggins. I was there almost exactly 1 year. And then we moved back east to James Madison University, was there about 15 months with Greg Werner. And then Coach Cutcliffe, at the time I first met Coach, when I was a GA, as I said, at UT, and he had gotten the job at Ole Miss during the bowl season of 98. They had a position come open in 2000, November 2000. And so I went down and interviewed and got the job down there. And that's, again, when I really first started working with Coach, you know, when he was the head football coach. And was there 4 years with Coach Cut. When he was released, I stayed there for three more years, got promoted up to the director when Coach Mendoza left. And they brought Aaron Osmus in, who is great, you know, because actually I helped Coach Aaron when he was at Tennessee as a thrower, you know. So when I left UT, Aaron had just finished his eligibility, so he took my GA spot. In the meantime, so Coach Ogeron brought Aaron in to be the head football guy. So for 3 years, we got to work together, which is probably the funnest 3 years working-wise I've had in a long time, probably in my life. But then when Coach got the opportunity to come here, he got hired December of 07. January, he called. So I came up. When he called me a Saturday night, and I'll never forget it. He called me on a Saturday night. My wife and I were having pizza. And he called and wanted to know if he was interested, and said, without a doubt, you know, I said, I don't need to see anything. You know, the next week I was up. You know, I came up, started working. I'd never been to Durham, North Carolina, nor did I need to. You know, I just knew it was Coach Cut. It was a no-brainer.
Wow. What's it like coaching with Coach Cut? I mean, he's just a great guy.
Yeah, he is. I tell you, not as only now, obviously just an unbelievable football coach, but man, what a guy. You know, what you see with Coach Cut is, you know, that's who he is. You know, there's nothing. He's not hiding anything. You know, man, he is so upfront. I couldn't tell you what a blessing, you know, it really is.
You know, I mentioned earlier that I saw him on the national championship game, and he was one of the guys on the other channels that did the game. And he was giving, like, analysis with other coaches sitting there, and they were, you know, watching the game and breaking it down play by play and X's and O's. He's got that down.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're saying he does all the other little things to bring the whole package together.
Yeah. Coach, he doesn't miss anything. You know, every part, anything that touches his program, this program here at Duke, man, he doesn't miss a part of it, man. Everything is so detailed, you know, which is great for us.
He's got his fingerprints on everything.
Yeah, no doubt, you know. He's big with who he hires. He does a lot of hiring from within the program, brings people up through the system, through the program. So the core beliefs never change. We believed 11 years ago, it's the same thing. The way it's handled is the same way it was handled 11 years ago.
Yeah. Well, Noel, here we are. It's a Wednesday. It's June. No lift today.
Correct.
You guys had a team meeting, and you know, I know you guys are on a 4-day split.
Yep.
How do you guys break it down here at Duke as far as, you know, when you train and, you know, your group size and everything? I know you got a whole new weight room kind of a look here as of last year.
Mondays and Thursdays for us are basically days we're doing our stuff on the platforms. Real similar to what we did back in Tennessee back in the late 90s, and we did this as well as Ole Miss. So Mondays and Thursdays, most stuff that we're doing on our platforms, we'll do some upper back work as well, a little bit of shoulder work. But when we get done, we'll go out and condition. You know, we'll go out and do some running. Some speed and agility stuff. When we finish up on our Mondays and Thursdays and Tuesdays and Fridays are days we're squatting and pressing and doing all our posterior chain work. No running after, you know, because again, the days we're squatting and pressing, days we're squatting and pressing.
For upper back, what are some of the things that a lot of people overlook that, you know, high school teams and things like that. Mm-hmm. They just want to bench press and look in the mirror and things like that. But what are some of the great things for the upper back that you got, that you promote?
Sure.
Coaches doing?
Sure. For our skill and cowboy guys, again, we're going to do all different variations of chin-ups, pull-ups. Our bigger guys, the guys that can't, you know, just 300-pound guys, that
right.
is what it is. If they can get five, that's great. but for the sheer volume of the amount of work to really do, those guys would do some lat pull downs, hammer high rows, hammer rows. But as well as, so that stuff we'll do vertically and then horizontally. One arm dumbbell rows, barbell bent over rows, inverted rows, you know, all those things. Again, weighted, you know, things that are body weight, we'll put some extra resistance on them.
As you taper things down to camp, how do you guys do that, you know, when July comes? And really, you know, some schools are on different kind of schedules. You guys are in. How long have you been in school this summer right now as far as, or is it just starting?
No, our kids actually come back. It is Duke. Our kids came back May 16th, you know, so we're still in discretionary time, obviously, at that point. But these kids, as we were talking earlier, we know when they sign that letter of intent, they're pretty motivated kids. So these guys, it's incredible during discretionary time, man. They will come in. They don't miss a beat. You know, they love the lift, love to come in. They like to work. So they'll come in. We have our discretionary week coming up here in about 10 days, which is our break between our first and our second summer session. So they'll take a break at that point, our mandatory, a week off, and then we'll come back July 2nd, start the second half, and they will still be in school the first week of camp. You know, so these guys, it's 2 5-week sessions with that week off in between them. But obviously, like I say, the first couple weeks are pure discretionary time.
It's good to get some time away, isn't it?
Oh, no doubt. Everybody needs that. We need that as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's good for them to get a break. We do all our testing. All our testing will actually be completed next week. So they'll get their testing. All that will be finished up. Then they'll get that week to go home, go to the beach, whatever they're going to do. Then we'll come back, kind of revamp our stuff a little bit, keep the loads a little bit lighter using the tendos, keep our velocity ranges in a higher velocity range, so it's a little bit lighter weights, and just kind of ramp up the running a little bit more.
Coach, as you know, in the last couple of years, really, but 3 to 5 years, this whole nutrition thing has skyrocketed and changed in the with the NCAA finally. And you know, I'll interject my little comment there, but you can actually give the players a lot more different types of food and, you know, snacks and smoothies and shakes and things like that. How's that work here at Duke?
You know, last year, first year we have had, this has been the first full year of having a full-time sports nutrition staff. We hired Beth Miller last year. She started June 1st last year, and her staff has been, they've been incredible. Snack bags for kids. You know, we got kids who have got a Spanish class, literally 7 hours, you know, this time of year. So they will have snack bags. She prepares them snack bags, you know, they can take, so they get little breaks in between during the class. So they've got the opportunity there, you know, to keep getting some calories and some stuff in their system. But she is incredible, you know, what she's done, the difference it's made in our program, and not just football-wise,
yeah,
but athletic department-wise.
Yeah, I remember, you know, visiting schools like the Ohio State Buckeyes and Kentucky Wildcats, you know, 8-10 years ago, and a player could get done with a workout, and then he'd go in and, you know, they'd fix, you know, they'd have like a bagel and there'd be a big tub of peanut butter and they'd have to really do it themselves. Otherwise, right. It counted as a meal against the, you know, it was just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. It's a good thing. They definitely changed the rules. Yeah. It's been incredible. You know, just the difference within that. And then, you know, we talked about earlier, Coach loves to bring in sleep doctors, you know, so we bring them in as well. And we feed off that as well, you know, as far as the importance of just sleeping, eating, and hydrating, you know. That's probably 90% of soil recovery. So if they're not doing that stuff right, you know, does it really matter what else they're doing?
And like you say, the guys here are motivated. They don't fall asleep during the sleep speech.
Yeah, and they're smart. Yeah. You know, I mean, they get it. You know, they understand, you know what, it is important. You know, we put an emphasis on it. What we have found over the 11 years here, you know, if it's something we're going to put an emphasis on and really truly believe that, man, they buy in. You know, these kids are pretty, they're very trusting.
Coach, before we go, you know, I think it was, what, about a year ago that you remodeled and redid this whole weight training center here that you got for this football squad.
Yep.
You know, maybe for some of our coaches out there listening in, kind of tell us what went into your thought process as far as putting it all together. It's really, really nice.
Like I say, thank you. We do so much platform work. You know, we want to create some space, and our room is about 7,000 square feet. So what we did is we went and inlaid the wooden platforms. So we kept the wood in the ground. We didn't go with the rubber. We didn't stay with just normal play flooring, but we put the wood down. Like we were talking earlier, we don't have a natural lighting. We have a little bit of light that comes in through a tunnel up the way a little bit. So with the LED lights in the wood, we get a little bit of light coming back off our floor. So it kind of keeps the room a little bit brighter as well. But we went through and we just kind of kept the rack stripped down. You know, again, there's four next racks. Basketball did theirs 3 years ago. The Olympic weight room did theirs 2 years ago. And say we did ours last year, and we all kind of followed the same color patterns, the same stuff.
Of course, we're seeing these Sornex racks everywhere we go now. It's like you were saying earlier, I forget the term, but just kind of putting...
Big erector set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can just keep adding to it or whatever, or subtracting the way you want to, or if a new innovation comes out, bam, it's right on it.
Yeah. You know, we want to go through it, and again... What I didn't want was when folks came into the weight room, it looked like a big jungle gym. So we went through, we kept our racks really stripped down, brought the bumper wings, put the bumper wings on the front. Will Stevens, like I say, 3 years ago, did this, and I thought it was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. So we followed the same suit. Like I say, the Olympic room did the same thing, you know. So we don't have the weight trees on the rack. It's just all we have are the bumper wings coming off the side of the rack.
Right.
So just kind of keep it more aesthetically a little leaner. Look toward the rack, so we don't have much stuff. I'm not a big stuff person. I'm an anti-clutter individual.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good look in this weight room. Okay, so before we go, Coach, the Blue Devils will be in for Thursday training tomorrow. Mm-hmm. What's on tap for tomorrow?
Tomorrow they'll do two-position clean, a clean pull. Again, we'll do some upper back, some rowing. Again, tomorrow we'll throw them a little bone, let them do some bicep curls. And then a good front press, and we'll go upstairs and do some agility work. So get some conditioning.
Athletic Strength and Power extends a big thank you to you.
Thank you, Ed.
Taking a few minutes out for ASAP today to talk to us about your training program and about your background, because there's, you know, a lot of the coaches that are listening in, some of them are younger guys, and they're trying to work their way into the profession and learn about how to do it and get involved and you know, you've been with it a while now, obviously, and started up as a young guy, you know, a high school guy, kind of a thing, and then here you are, with the Duke Blue Devils. What a great gig! It's really nice here, and this whole campus setting and everything—it's just beautiful.
Thank you, Duke's. It's an amazing place. You know, Coach, and it's funny in our meeting just a few minutes ago. You know, again, we're talking. This is where, from a staff standpoint, support staff. This is where everybody wants to be, you know. In I have zero desire to go anywhere, you know. Coach Cut has zero desire to go anywhere, you know. Again, we're not going to go chase a dollar, you know. The people we work with day in, day out, the student athletes we work with day in, day out, you can't put a price tag on it. You really can't. I mean, you love coming to work with people who work with our equipment staff, our training staff, obviously the football staff, and as I said a moment again, the student athlete. You know, these kids are just incredible, incredible kids. You cannot say enough about who they are, you know, and what they do day in, day out. You know, between what we ask them to do and what the university asks them to do from an just from an academic standpoint. You know, these are highly motivated individuals. And you know, the kids that do go on to play, great. You know, phenomenal. Good luck, you know. But the ones that don't, you know, are going to be just as successful, you know, because of who they are. You know, these kids will not give themselves a chance not to be successful. That's all they know.
Coach Noel Durfee, head strength coach for those Duke Blue Devils. This is Durham, North Carolina. They call it Bull City. He's Bull City proud. Duke University. Thanks a lot, Coach, for taking some time out for us today.
Yep,
appreciate it.